This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human Animal Podcast. I'm so glad you're with us today because I have a really special guest from Switzerland, and her name is Paloma Berchi. And since 2001, she's been a professional animal communicator, and she has held the keys to an enchanting world where humans and animals converse at an extraordinary level. And she's going to tell us a little bit about her work and her stories. And we're also going to really look at the possibility of connecting very deeply even after an animal has passed. So that's going to be what we're focusing on today. And all the hidden dimensions of the rich language of animals is going to come to life for us here today. So Paloma, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. And let's talk a little bit about what you mean when you say you're an animal communicator. Tell us about your process and what you do.
Well, I communicate not just with animals, but also with plants and other living creatures. So really, it's not just animal communication, it's interspecies communication, what I do. So I basically use conscious telepathic communication to do that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And let me just ask you, is this something you had all your life as a child? Did it develop later in life? Just tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, we actually all come into this world with one language and one way of communicating, and that's conscious telepathic communication.
Conscious telepathic communication.
Yes. There is also the unconscious telepathic communication, which is working all the time, really. Mm-hmm. And two people live together, for example, and one goes shopping for groceries and they have a list with them. And all of a sudden, the person that stays at home thinks, oh, I forgot to put bread on the list. Mm-hmm. And the person tries to call the other person, but the hand is off. Mm-hmm. So no way of connecting.
Yeah.
And they keep thinking, oh, but I need bread. We really do need bread. Mm-hmm. But they're not connecting consciously with this other person. Mm-hmm. And then this other person comes back home and says, look, I don't know why I did that, but I bought some bread, even though it was not on the list.
Yeah, it's great. I love it when it works like that.
So that's really, you know, unconscious telepathic communication. Or you think about somebody and this somebody phones you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Makes life sweeter. Yeah.
Yeah. We have all experienced things like that. So, mm-hmm. And they're not coincidences. There's telepathy at work, but yeah. on an unconscious level.
Right. Right.
And well, we can do that on a conscious level as well.
Okay.
And well, we come into this world with this.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I was hoping I could get you to tell a story. I've heard it before, but I want our listeners to hear about the rabbit that you decided you wanted to communicate with. And can you tell us, well, first of all, what made you feel that you wanted to talk to this particular rabbit? What did you sense about that?
Are you talking about Spot?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Spot is one of my animal mentors. Mm-hmm. And when I started to relearn animal communication, because mm-hmm. as I said, we all can do that when we are children, we just don't know it. And we lose it as we grow older.
Yes.
So when I relearned it, and I had this rabbit, and I wanted to connect with this rabbit. I mean, I have been talking to other animals, so I wanted to connect with my own rabbit. Mm-hmm. So I connected with Spot, and I got the answer from Spot. I'm a philosopher. You're not at my level. You're not going to understand me. Keep mm-hmm. on learning.
Yes. Wonderful.
And I thought, like, what? This is an answer. I mean, it's impossible that I have made up this answer. No way I would ever make up this kind of answer.
Right.
So I thought, ooh, this is spooky. This is weird. So I kept on learning. And some months later, I came back to Spot after having talked to other animals. Came back to Spot and wanted to contact Spot again and talk to Spot. And I got the same answer. I'm a philosopher. You're not at my level. You're not going to understand me. Keep on learning. And I kept getting this answer for 2 years.
2 years.
After 2 years, he decided to communicate with me. After 1.5 year, you know, like I came to a point where I thought, this is just not working with this rabbit. I must be making this up. This can't be true, you know, like.
Yes.
Yeah. But then he talked to me after 2 years. He started talking to me. He's never, ever stopped again.
Wow.
And we wrote a book.
Yes.
You Set Your Own Limits.
Yes.
And we wrote that about 20 years ago.
Wow.
And it's about different parts of life. And you have small texts in it. And he covers a lot of things. And we are currently writing another book.
Wonderful.
So hopefully we will publish it this year.
That's great. That's such a great story. And it's great that you didn't give up.
Yes.
I think I would have given up after you said that twice. I said, okay. That's really great. That's really great. Well, I know that you also have helped people communicate with animals who've passed. Is it any different communicating with an animal who's passed with an animal who's still here?
No, it's actually the same.
Is it easier or not exactly the same?
I think it's the same because we're not talking with the body.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with the being inside the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's great. That's great. And can you tell us a little bit, like, how do you, well, let's say going back when you were still learning, how did you know for sure that what you were doing was authentically coming from the animal and not, you know, a projection? I know a lot of people worry about that when they're starting animal communication. Is this coming from me or did the animal really say it?
Well, first of all, I must say everything is coming from you because it's your interpretation.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
Good.
So, you know, 10 people can hear the same phrase and you've got 10 different interpretations of the same phrase.
Yes. Yes.
So really, when people ask me this question, I get this question a lot because I also teach animal communication. So it's one of the main questions my students ask me. How do I know when is it from the animal and when is it from me? I say, well, it's very easy. It's always from you.
Okay.
Because it's always your interpretation. The correct question would be, how much have I understood?
Ah, yeah.
Have I understood 50%, 80%, 90%.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's like when you speak a language, you need to learn the vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
You need to learn the grammar. Mm-hmm. And the more vocabulary you know, the more you understand. And telepathic communication is another language. It's like English, Spanish, German, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is also a vocabulary there. And the vocabulary for telepathy is feelings. The feelings are the words.
Right, right. So when you're communicating with an animal, you feel the feelings that they're feeling. Is that a good description of what you experience?
Yes. When I communicate with an animal, I get the feelings. It's it's always an exchange of feelings, because if we take the word telepathy and we translate it, we get tele, which means distance, and pathy, which means feeling.
Yes.
So it's actually a feeling at a distance, and the distance, it doesn't matter. You know, it can be on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Or the animal can be in the same room as you are. So it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So it's an exchange of feelings. Now, the way we interpret those feelings is different in every person. You know, it can be that somebody gets the feeling, somebody gets pictures, somebody gets words. I mean, this is the most crazy thing, you know, and that's where people really get unsure. Is it really? I mean, the animal doesn't speak English, right. And I'm getting words. But it's their way of interpreting the feeling that the animal is sending.
Yes.
And the feelings are the same in animals and in humans. Because when we look at a feeling, what is a feeling? A feeling is a vibration on a certain frequency. Mm-hmm. That's what a feeling is.
Yes.
A feeling is a vibration on a certain frequency. And it doesn't matter whether it's a dog that feels that feeling, whether it's a cat, a mouse, a human, a horse, that feeling has a vibration on a certain frequency. Mm-hmm. It's like when you listen to the radio. Mm-hmm. You listen to the radio on a certain frequency, and everybody that wants to listen to this special radio channel needs to tune in into that frequency. And it doesn't matter who is listening to that radio channel. Uh-huh. But they need to tune into that frequency.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're not hearing that channel.
Right. Exactly. Good. Good. Very, very clear. Well, I know you've helped me with my dog, Lulu, who was a dog that we fostered from the shelter. She was a very challenging case, and we loved her very much. And there was an incident, you know, there was a very severe bite, and the shelter put her down. And I would love to hear your thoughts, because you helped us through that. But just kind of tell us what you were able to see and know, and what has changed since, if you've had a chance to tune into her.
So for Lulu, it was a very difficult situation as well, because she didn't want the things to happen that happened.
Right.
And she was holding on to until you were there.
Yeah.
You know, so that was amazing.
It was amazing. I'll just tell the audience what happened is the shelter had certain rules about the euthanasia. They were willing to let us be there, but they wouldn't let us there until they wouldn't let us into the room with her until she was completely down. That's just their rules. And so we were waiting. The first shot should have been 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour at the most. And it took almost 3 hours, I think it was, or 2 hours or something very significant. And she waited for us. And, you know, I was able to go in and give her whipped cream and hug her and kiss her and tell her I loved her and all that good stuff before she finally left. But it was amazing how long she waited. And we knew that she was waiting for us. And we told them she was waiting for us. But they, of course, they didn't believe that. Or, well, I don't know if they didn't believe it, but they just had their rules. They wouldn't let us go in, because once you have that kind of a bite, they, you know, they don't allow you to be until the animal is very far sedated. So anyway, but yeah, it was very hard. That was very hard.
Yeah. And you know, the reason why she waited was because we communicated with her beforehand and we told her that you would be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she was actually waiting for you to come.
I know.
You know, but one thing that maybe is also very important to know is that animals do not identify with their body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like we humans tend to identify with our bodies. We
here's my body.
Yeah, exactly. This is me. And we point at our body, or we say, I've got a headache.
Right.
No, you don't have a headache. Your body has your head of the head of your body has a headache.
Uh-huh.
Not you. I mean, the body, our body is like our vehicle. Mm-hmm. The vehicle we have to be here on this earth. Mm-hmm. That's why we are in this body, but we are not our body.
Right.
And animals know that they don't identify with their body. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I started, it was crazy, because I communicated with animals that were, you know, they were not very well, that they were about to pass, and people were asking me, well, how is my animal doing? Mm-hmm. And I connected with those animals and I got a good feeling, you know, the animal's doing great, you know, like, and they were telling me, are you really sure you are connected with the right animal? I mean, the animal is a pathic. It's not like, it's not hardly moving anymore. And I go like, what am I doing wrong here? You know, like, I didn't understand it. I contacted with the animal and the animal was going like, oh yeah, some of those animals were not in the body anymore, but I didn't realize that. You know, animals tend to go out of the body when they are, for example, when they are in pain or something like that, and then they go out of the body and then they come back in and then they go back out again. And sometimes they just practice, you know, leaving the body. And, but for me then, I had no idea. I had no clue what was going on. And then I came across a book called Here and Now. And it was written by Osho. And I, because you have to be in the here and now to communicate with animals. That title captured my attention. So I looked at the book and the first title, the first title of the first chapter, the title of the first chapter was something like Death, the biggest lie of humanity. I go like, ooh, I have to read this book.
Interesting.
So I read that book and Osho talks about humans there. He doesn't talk about animals. He talks about humans. But he talks about humans identifying with their body while they shouldn't identify with their body because they are not their body. And there, I figured out, like, oh, hold on. That's what's happening with the animals.
Yes, I've seen that when I've been asked to communicate with animals or passing and they tell me they're fine and they're peaceful. And, you know, and that the person will say, should I euthanize now? And they said, that'd be fine. Or later, that'd be fine. You know, it's like the whole thing is fine. You know, it's like they're completely calm. Well, we're going to take a short little break and then we're going to be right back and talk more about this fascinating subject.
Hey, friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm speaking with Paloma Berchi, and we are speaking about animal communication. And I was just so curious. I wonder if Lulu would like to say anything about this conversation that we're having today.
Yeah, so the information that I get from her is that she has been very happy to be with you, that she is always with you, that she still is with you. And actually, what I told you before, she will come back, and you will find her. But then she doesn't want to come as a foster. She actually then wants to stay.
Yes, totally understood. Well, it's very, very funny because there is a dog that looks like Lulu, not at all like her behaviorally, but is a wonderful therapy dog. So, but I know Lulu is still on her way. So I'm glad that she's doing well, right? Is she happy now? What's she up to? What's her life like now in the beyond? I know a lot of people wonder that. So we'll just take a look at Lulu's world. And I'm giving Paloma a chance to tune in. So when she's ready, she'll tell me.
Yeah, so I can see her jumping around, like running around and jumping around and really having fun. And I get the feeling that she is when you're working with therapy dogs, she is there.
I
don't know if you ever felt her, but
that's wild.
I get the feeling that she's there and she's calms and she's learning, but she's always calming down some of the animals that are a little bit insecure.
Oh,
so she gives them comfort.
How nice of her.
Yeah.
How nice of her to be the calm one, because when she was in her body, she was not calm.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the beauty of it, that animals, when they are out of their body, they can be totally different than in their body.
Yeah, wonderful. So they really are still continuing to evolve as souls, you know, even though they have left the physical realm, or maybe because they've left the physical realm, that doesn't mean it's the end of their experience. They are continuing to evolve. So I'm just curious what you've noticed about the dogs that you work with in your dream team, how they have been evolving after they've left physical form, and how you've continued to communicate with them. So what's your relationship like now with those animals who have passed from this world?
Oh, well, we have a very strong connection. We have still a very strong bond. And, you know, every animal has their own calling or job or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And they come with that job into this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, or most of the time, their job doesn't have to do anything with what you give them as a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, when they leave, they continue with their job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I had this rabbit, not Spot, but Luna. Okay. Luna was the partner of Spot.
Okay.
So Luna is my shaman and medicine woman. So she's my shaman and medicine woman.
Wow.
And Spot is the philosopher, and mm-hmm. he is still the philosopher and the mentor. And what I have learned from them, and that they can go and check out situations that they couldn't do when they were in their bodies.
Wow.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I have people calling me and asking me, can you ask Luna whether she can see what the condition is of this and this animal? Or sometimes even people say, I feel a little bit awkward. Can you ask Luna what's the problem with me?
Yeah. Wow.
And I go like, you know, we can't make a diagnosis or anything like that. You know, not a doctor and not a vet or anything like that. I can, and neither is Luna. So we can only give you some indication, maybe.
Yes.
But very, very often when Luna says something, and then people go to the vet with their animal or to the doctor.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, well, could you maybe check on this?
Right.
And they do check on this. And it's the right hint.
Yes. Wonderful. And of course, that person doesn't say, this rabbit told me.
No, of course not. Or another thing that Luna does very often is mm-hmm. when there are people that need to go to the vet with their animal.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ask the person, do you want Luna to come with you? And then they say, yes, please.
Oh.
And the reason, no, this is a crazy story.
Okay.
The moment I realized the power of Luna,
uh-huh.
That was a client of mine, and she had this dog, and this dog wanted to have babies.
Uh-huh.
And so she coupled her up with a dog.
Uh-huh.
And they had an accident.
Oh.
Yeah. While the other dog was mounting her, there was an accident. So she had to rush to the hospital with the dog. And she called me. Uh-huh. And then she said, what do I do?
Yeah.
And I talked to the dog. And the dog said, I don't want to be neutered
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I mean, something was broken inside, you know.
Oh.
And then she said, well, okay, let's see what the person at the hospital say. And Luna then said, I can assist.
Oh.
And I go like, okay, whatever. Uh-huh. If you want to assist, you can assist. So I told my client, Luna is assisting. Back then, I had no clue what was going to happen. No clue.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So she rushes to the hospital. The dog gets operated. And at some point, Luna contacts me and says, everything has gone fine.
Uh-huh.
That was the only information I got. Everything has gone fine.
Uh-huh.
So I call my client and I say, everything's gone fine. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I haven't heard from the hospital yet. Have they neutered her? And I go like, well, if Luna says everything has gone fine, probably not.
Yes. Yes.
And then half an hour later, she uh-huh. calls me and said, the hospital has called. And she had talked to the vet himself that made the operation.
Yeah.
And the vet said to her, well, something very strange happened. We haven't neutered her, but it was so strange. I saw it blindly. It was like somebody was guiding my hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I get goosebumps just telling the story.
Definitely.
I mean, she knew who it was. I knew who it was. Obviously, she didn't tell the vet.
Right. A rabbit's going to be helping you with the surgery.
But I mean, that was the point where I realized that Luna was amazing. And, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, sometimes Luna actually goes with the people to the vet just to calm the animals down.
Yes.
And I have had from, you know, feedback from clients telling me, oh, can Luna come? Because when Luna is with us, then my cat is much calmer at the vet.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet. And did that dog ever have puppies?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that's just amazing that, you know, that the way animals can serve. I mean, just...
Well, she didn't have puppies, but, you know, there is this... And a lot of people will probably relate to that. There are some times where it looks like a dog is pregnant. I don't know what you call that in English.
Yeah.
Where it looks like a dog is pregnant, but it's not.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
You know, like uh-huh. it's like they're going through all the phases. And what I learned from the animals is that there are actually like light beings. Mm-hmm. They call themselves light beings. And they come onto this earth to do good work, but they need the earthly vibration. And in order to get the earthly vibration, they go into a body. And then they are born.
Yes.
Yeah, they are born. And obviously, we don't see them.
Right.
But they are born. And often what they do is they go into a plushie or something.
Uh-huh.
So that the mother can cuddle it.
Uh-huh.
Can, you know, can carry it around or can, you know, leak it or whatever, you know, like.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then after a while, they leave the plushie.
Yeah.
They leave the toy and they go.
Uh-huh.
And this dog
uh-huh.
once after that she had the operation, so she had there was this situation where it looks like she was pregnant but she wasn't,
right?
And so I told my client that, and uh-huh. she said, oh, okay, great. So she knew when the puppies were due. Now the puppies were born, the light beings were born, and at least one of them went into a toy.
Wow.
And this dog was carrying her toy everywhere.
Wow.
And one day she walks up to her human and uh-huh. shows her the toy.
Uh-huh.
And my client didn't think.
Yeah.
Takes the toy and throws it.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And she immediately called me because she said, please, 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 can you tell my dog? I'm so, so, so sorry.
Oh.
My dog is sitting next to me, staring at me,
oh,
you know, terrified. Oh. And I just realized I threw the puppy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a wild, wild story. Well, yeah. And, you know, dogs sleep a lot. And I'm just wondering, do you feel that when they're sleeping, sometimes, like, say, during the day or whatever, that they're doing inner work, that they're up to something else?
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
You know, I used to have courses where people would come mm-hmm. to my place and they were allowed to bring their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes afterwards, they would call me up and say, what have you done to my dog? And I go, I haven't done anything to your dog. Why? Uh-huh. Well, my dog was so tired, he didn't even want to go for a walk in the evening. This is not normal.
Yeah.
And I go like, well, your dog, it has been lying around the whole day.
Right.
And I'm like, no, your dog hasn't been lying around the whole day. Your dog has been doing energy work. That's why your dog is so tired.
Yes. Yes. That's great. That's wonderful. Well, is there a way that people can get in touch with you or learn more about your work? Would you like to give folks some information about how to contact you?
Yes, I've got a website. It's called www.speciesspace.com, all in one word, speciesspace.com. So they can contact me through there. Or I have also a podcast called Animal Empathy. Animal
Empathy. Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, it's been wonderful to talk with you. We're just going to have to do another show because there's so much more to talk about. But I want to thank you so much, Paloma Berchi from Switzerland, a wonderful animal communicator. So thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.